What's up, everyone? This is the Next Take podcast, episode 27, with Mikael and
Tanika,
where we have different conversations on different topics. So today's episode is going to be special. What are we going to be talking about, Tanika?
We're going to be talking about the evolution of AI in music and in movies.
Okay. All right. Let's get on to it.
All right. So, as we kind of know, AI is something that is ever growing, despite the many movies we have seen where this is a bad idea. But anyways, I digress. The reason also that this episode is going to be kind of special is because we're kind of doing a little bit of a mini series on AI. So this episode is the first episode of that series. We do have other episodes coming up that we will kind of, I don't know, leave as a surprise kind of a little bit. But we are going to have three different episodes kind of, you know, about AI. See, that's up. You could expect. I think we're doing it every other week, I believe, starting this week. So the first thing we're going to talk about, kind of focus on, is music and kind of how AI is kind of playing a role in the production of music, and whether or not that could have like a negative impact on the actual artists who create music. So it's kind of believed that AI can help correct vocal pitch, because sometimes people don't have great pitch. Right. So I guess AI can help with that. And it can also allow engineers to mix and master recordings much more quickly and also a little more cheaply, which is kind of annoying. Especially if you have a song that's going to make a lot of money for you anyways, depending on who that is, obviously. Going the cheap route isn't always the best route. That's a song, in my honest opinion. So recently, the Beatles used AI to isolate John Lennon's voice from a 1978 demo, stripping out the other instruments and ambient noises in order to build a new, pristinely produced song. So even though John Lennon, may he rest, is still, I guess in a sense, a part of modern day music, which is kind of cool. So how, kind of another way that AI is being used is kind of more for the user, the person who's, you know, taking in the product. Tools like Spotify's Discover Weekly and Apple Music's Personalized Radio use AI to recommend songs to users based on their listening history and preferences. So like for me, if I'm listening to whatever I'm listening to, it might suggest, oh, here's The Weeknd with his new song, or here's Ariana Grande with her new song. So it kind of, AI is being used even when like you're minding your own business listening to your Spotify. So this really only benefits listeners by expanding their musical horizons, but also provides a powerful tool for artists seeking to reach new and engaged audiences. So even though you think Spotify might be doing something nice for you, it actually, that data is going back to whoever it needs to go back to kind of figure this. So even like me, sometimes I have listened to like brown noise or white noise or pink noise or whatever, and then it will like give me something around those lines too, even though like it's just something that I use from time to time if I need it.
Right.
It's not something I necessarily want to be recommended, but that's the AI at work. So what risks? Go ahead.
So we've seen that, like, you know, AI can also help artists because, you know, their voices are no longer able to, or their original voices are not able to, like, you know, able to carry on the mic anymore.
But is that just a good thing or a bad thing?
Basically, if it benefits the artist, then it's a good thing. And if the artist allows it, then it's a good thing for this typical artist.
Understandable. What you're saying, but I think from my research, it seems like my understanding, they don't particularly like that, especially if they're not the one in control of it. And 9 times out of 10, it's not them in control of it.
Well,
in this case, evolution.
True. Well, in this artist's case right now, if you heard of this artist in hip hop, like, he's from Philadelphia.
What's his name?
Benny Siegel.
Who?
Benny Siegel.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard of him.
Isn't that familiar?
I know he doesn't ring a bell, you know. Have you ever heard of Philadelphia rapper Freeway? No?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. So, basically, Benny Siegel is a Philadelphia rapper. He's very, like, you know, local back in, I think, the mid-2000s. He has a very, very... I think he has a disease when it comes to his voice. I can't remember what the disease is.
Well, I think you mentioned this before, actually.
Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah. He did announce last year that using AI to recreate original voice for a new album.
Mm.
So, because his original voice can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So once he heard, probably, you know, like a random fan, you know, use AI on certain, like, you know, use his voices on certain song, he probably heard it and was like, yeah, this is a good idea, you know, maybe I can use this to, you know, create new albums, you know, let me, like, write new songs and then let the AI do my voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that could benefit the artists in a lot of ways, because, like, maybe they don't have great voices, or their voices are about to go once they get, like, you know, older.
Like, so Julie Andrews types. I don't know. Maybe don't know who Julie Andrews is, but yeah. like Julie Andrews.
Yeah,
she had her surgery.
Yeah,
and we lost that voice.
Yeah.
So
maybe if Celine Dion, you know. If she wanted to, well, I don't think she will.
That's a territory that I don't want to talk. I'm still mourning. But I don't know if Celine Dion, just because of who she is, I don't know if she would go there personally.
I don't think so. But,
no, and with Celine Dion, it's not so much that she doesn't have her voice.
Right.
It's her ability to perform. Celine Dion hasn't made new music since, I guess, the last song she would have done was the one for Deadpool, the first one. She hasn't really made new music. She's kind of been relying on her performing, doing residencies and stuff like that. Celine Dion doesn't need to make new music. She is who she is. She doesn't need But that's the issue. It's the fact that the illness that she currently has, it's not attacking her voice, I believe. It might probably have an effect on her voice to some extent, but it's her ability to perform. She's very fragile, so it's more of a physical thing. with her body than her ability to talk or sing. Yeah, so I don't know if that would have been, if she's a great example.
Okay.
But, yeah, I...
Just say a certain artist that needs it as like a crutch. Like if they're losing their voice, you know, when they get like older, it could use this. Because if a fan wants like, you know, new music, you could use the AI to, you know, use it as a crutch. And
but someone like him who, like, I don't know how mainstream he is, but of course he would probably, yes, like the idea of AI and the voice kind of sounding like him or whatever because of what he's dealing with. But when you have someone like what we've seen, you have someone like Drake who has the ability to create his own music with his own voice.
Oh, yeah.
Or you have someone like Justin Bieber, same thing. Do those type of artists who still have that ability going to appreciate AI taking their voices and creating songs that are not theirs?
No, because it's, exactly. I feel like I don't like it, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
It's illegal in a lot of ways because it should be illegal.
I don't know if it is. I mean just kind of like with cyberbullying, that's something that has evolved over time within the laws, so maybe that's something that will happen over time where it may become illegal to do that, but the issue is, can you even go after the person who's creating that song? That might be very difficult. So, you know, it's like, I don't know how, like, because someone behind a screen created a song in Drake and The Weeknd's likeness and created a song that wasn't actually real.
Right.
And it sounded just like them.
Well, there are music labels looking to take down songs like that. So, like, yeah.
But AI is so, like, what AI has become in the matter of a year or two is its own giant. And there's only so much you can do to keep taking those things down before you're overwhelmed. Like, even me listening to podcasts, like listening to reality television podcasts, for example. There is one particular podcaster or podcasters who have gone on to like ChatGPT, put in different, you know, things to create a song based on things that have happened on a show. And it sounds like a real song. Now, in those cases, obviously it's not a real song. It's not being used in someone else's likeness. But that's what I'm trying to get at. Like, it's so easy. It's something that literally type in 5 minutes later, not even 5 minutes later, 3 minutes later, 2 minutes later, you have a song. Like, it's just, it's something that is not going to be, I think, if we don't get this under some sort of regulation or something, or some sort of law is put in place, it's going to get to a point where no one can tame this. So I don't know, like, it scares me how much like AI has evolved in the matter of a couple years.
I do think lawmakers are looking into it,
but it's going to take a really long time.
But like, it's going to take
like years, even
I would say voice recognition, not even voice recognition towards, like, you know, actors as well. Like, I would say, you know, Tom Holland are looking into, like, you know, making this into, like, you know, illegal without his permission. Even even the pictures, like, you know, Taylor Swift that was like going around during the Super Bowl. There was like some type of gross picture on Taylor Swift's side, where, well, I don't want to explain too much, but her just say it's a gross picture of her, like, you know, in a cheerleader costume, basically shaking her butt, and then, you know, it didn't depict her who she was. So she warned X to take it down, or she will
sue you.
Yeah,
she will take legal action. Yeah.
So they took it down. They never found the guy who did it. People on Twitter were actually like, knew who did it, but they never took that guy down from Twitter either. That guy is still, like, you know, active right now to this day. But yeah, those are
for them to stop Donald Trump from tweeting. It took January 6th to happen. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not surprised that they didn't take him down or ban him suspend his account or anything like that.
Nah, they didn't. The person put his account on private for like a good, like, I think a week. And then he unprivated it and just told the Swifties that I'm undefeated. You know, you can't touch me. And this person's from Toronto, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. You don't claim him. But that's exactly it. Like, this is something that, honestly, say this. Putting someone's picture or face or whatever on top of like another picture or something like that, this is something that's been going on for many, many years. But now AI has made that so much easier and so much more, comes off more authentic and feels more real, that's a problem as well. Like, maybe that's another thing we need to talk about. AI, we are going to be talking about something kind of, maybe we can kind of group that into that. But like, that's exactly it. Like, AI can now become another bullying tool, that, because we need that, you know, we need another reason to, or another way to bully people. But like, that's basically what it is. Like, as far as I'm concerned, like, I know Taylor Swift is as big as she is, but who cares who she's dating? Who cares, like, any of that? Like, I don't care. Like,
yeah,
it's just another guy that she's gonna end up writing a song about. Like, I don't care, and I just don't understand why people care so much, like, who someone is with.
I don't either.
To this extreme.
Yeah, I don't.
To this extreme.
Yeah.
Don't get it.
Yeah.
But anyways, so what are the risks of AI generated music? So there's a lack of originality, which is true. There's only so much a robot can do, because in the end of the day, guys, AI is a robot. There's only so much a robot can do. And again, we've seen this in the movies that have come to warn us about this exact thing. And you are going to lack that originality, you know? And then AI algorithms often analyze existing music to generate new compositions. So they're going to look, because that's all they can do, they're going to look at whatever's been programmed into them and look at those things and be like, okay, I'm going to create this, you know? So as a result, there's a risk that AI-generated music may lack originality or become repetitive if it merely mimics existing popular songs or follows predictable patterns. So, I mean, maybe people don't care about that, but, you know,
yeah.
I get it. And we kind of were talking about this already. So why AI is a threat to artists? This technology has recently made headlines since many artists fear it would endanger their careers and devalue their work. So airbrush artists, which I'm not 100% sure what is, I feel like I had to figure out what that meant, but I forgot now. Anyway, airbrush artists are worried about losing their jobs for two reasons. Number one, because AI could replace them. Mm-hmm. And then number two, because their art could be replicated by machines, which again, as I've just said in a previous thing, that is exactly what AI is kind of meant to do, is replicate what is already out there. So the other thing too is like, musicians, kind of what you were saying, Mikel, is that they are kind of embracing it. Some mm-hmm. artists, not everybody, is embracing this. There's certain music tools like BandLab, which suggests unique musical loops based on prompts as an escape valve for writer's block. So that's like an AI type generated thing. There's another app called Endel, which generates customized, constantly mutating soundtracks for focusing, relaxing, or sleeping based on people's preferences and biometric data. So kind of what I was mentioning before, but brown noise, pink noise, white noise, green noise, that those are all things that can be used as like sleeping tools. Yeah, I mean, I personally like brown noise to fall asleep too if I'm, you know, need a little help. Other AI tools create entire recordings based on text prompts, which I've mentioned previously too. A new YouTube tool powered by Google, DeepMind's large language model Lyria, which I feel like I've heard of, allows users to type in something like, quote, a ballad about how opposites attract, upbeat acoustic, and a song will kind of come out maybe sounding like a Charlie Puth, or, you know, maybe Paula Abdul, if that's what you want, or something, and it will create a song like that. Maybe even the person might sound like a Charlie Puth, who knows. So these technologies raise kind of all kinds of concerns, obviously. If an AI can create a Charlie Puth song instantaneously without Charlie Puth creating that song, kind of what does that mean for him, you know, or any other artist that, you know, you could even say, I want a song that sounds like, I don't know, Drake or something. Well, what does that mean for Drake? He's no longer needed. Degrassi's not available for him anymore. Like, what's gonna happen? Anyway. So I think the question is like, should AI companies be allowed to train their large language models on songs without their creators' permission?
No.
I agree. No, I don't think they should.
Going back to the health thing, I think that's a good idea. I think, you know, whatever AI company that's doing that for, like, you know, sleeping, could team up with like a lot of the artists, and a lot of artists could make money off that. So great idea.
That's already kind of something that's already happening,
right?
So like, for those people who have like Calm, for example, do you already have, not just artists but celebrities in general, who do like sleep stories, for example? Like, Calm's already doing that and has been doing that now. I can't remember how old Calm's been around now, but they've been doing it, right? Oh. The difference is that it's actually a person behind things.
So it's like an audiobook in a way.
It's not an audio. Calm is not an audiobook. It's a meditation app.
Meditation. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So with meditation, with the app though, it's not just meditation. There's meditation, there's soundscapes, there's, which brown noise would be considered like a soundscape. There are sleep stories, so that's what you want to do. There are other meditation type things that you'd want to do. But like, that's, there's music, there's, you know, whatever. But that is already something that was created by a human. And that human is also involved in some of those things that you have access to on the app.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, AI is great that they're doing that. And it's fine. Whatever. But there's already a human who's done it and is behind an app that's very successful. So, you know.
Okay.
I can go on both ends of that.
Well, nice that you told me because I never heard it before.
Mm-hmm.
I did see some, like, you know, sleeping apps, you know.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of them. There's another one. I can't remember what it's called now, but there's another one that's also pretty popular as well. But Calm is kind of the top one. You know, kind of the top one. And I would say it's been around for roughly at least a minimum 10 years, if not longer. And it's huge. There have been commercials and stuff like that on it too, but it's a huge app.
There's one called Better Sleep.
That's okay. It. Better Sleep is the other one. Yeah.
That's the one I ran into, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember where I was at now. So AIs are already being used to summon the voices of the dead on top of it. So, you know, you could, you know, have Tupac if you want to. Why not? Because AI can allow you to do that now. You know, and it's not like we're not just talking a holograph or something like that, which is, I mean, when you have like a Tupac holograph kind of come out of nowhere, that was huge. Well, imagine if you can actually just bring their voice back to life. Even those most excited about the technology have also become worried. So last month, Edward Newton Rex, who is the vice president of audio at the AI company Stability AI, he actually resigned from the company, saying he feared that he might have been contributing towards putting musicians out of jobs. He said, quote, "Companies worth billions of dollars are, without permission, training generative AI models on creators' works, which are then being used to create new content that, in many cases, can compete with the original works." And he wrote that in a public letter. So these questions will likely be decided in courts in the coming years, which we've talked about, in terms of like what could happen with AI-generated music using, you know, some artist's likeness. In October, Universal Music Group and other major labels sued the startup Anthropic, I believe, after its AI model Claude 2 started spitting out copyrighted lyrics verbatim. A Sony music executive told Congress that the company has issued almost 10,000 takedown requests for unauthorized vocal deepfakes, which, and many artists want to opt out entirely. So, for example, Dolly Parton recently called AI vocal clones, quote, "the mark of the beast." AI companies conversely argue that their usage of copyrighted songs falls under, quote, fair use, and is more akin to homages, parodies, or other cover songs. So, but why is that okay? We have Weird Al Yankovic out here making parodies from freaking 1970s. We don't need AI to do that for us. I mean, there's no one else like Weird Al Yankovic. He's one of a kind. But that's besides the point. You know, like, it's not necessary, in my opinion. But
I do agree. I don't see any reason for it. I was going to make a stance for it, but can't find it. Can't find it into my brain to say that there might be some creative thing that this well, this AI program is doing, but nah, it's not needed.
No.
You might go into problems with it, etc.
Yeah. So now we have the Independent Music Publishers International Forum. They've actually set out like their own ethical principles in response to AI. I'm not going to be reading all of those, but I'm sure if you want to find them all, you can find them. But I'm going to read four of them. So first one, seeking express permission for the use of music in the machine training process. Number two, keeping records of the musical works used in the machine training process. Mm-hmm. Number three, labeling of purely AI-generated music musical works. Mm-hmm. And number four, differentiate between purely AI-generated music works and human-assisted AI works. So basically, clearly label what is AI and what isn't. That's what they're asking for.
Okay.
So the other thing too is they've added to conclude the protection of human writers' copyright and livelihood should be explicitly acknowledged and provided for in any AI-related activities, commercial negotiations, or legislative initiatives. Applying generative AI should be based on principles of legality and accountability, transparency as well. So that's what they're, you know, kind of asking for. And I don't see the problem with that. I think that's fair.
No, that's fair. It was about time for the major labels, independent labels, even the artist itself, to take action or take legal action to get their voices back, because like God knows where they're where these AI programs are coming from, and then you know
it feels like they came out of nowhere. It feels like all of this AI available to just the common person, it just came out of absolute nowhere.
It's just fans that just want new tracks, just fans that are looking for dream collaborations that will probably never happen towards these types of artists.
Well, that was with Drake and The Weeknd. You know, people want also, that.
Yeah, look at Biggie and Drake. Look at Tupac and The Weeknd.
And those are Biggie, for example. Those are things that will never happen. But what happened to sampling? Instead of for the artist in particular, what happened to sampling? I mean, Michael Jackson sampled Biggie in his music. Like, why not just go that route? If that's what you
because
want to
do. It's a lot harder because you want
to. Yeah, you have to go through the legalities of it.
The artist and the person who's in charge, and sometimes the person who's in charge don't respond,
right?
Or you know they ignored, or they, most likely you know they're gonna get a no, and they're just like they turn to sour, they get upset and just do it anyways, and just you know,
and
like,
that's where. And there's also the money. If you can afford to sample someone in your song, then it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's ways to doing it. Like, you can just, you know, put it high-pitched. You know, the voice can be high-pitched, so you won't notice the voice. I might be wrong, because you can identify it. A certain person can identify that voice and just be like, oh yeah, that's my voice, you know. So I might be wrong, but like,
I mean, I've seen that happen before in other music, but you can still, like, once you can catch what that sample song is, it's hard to ignore. Even if it's like in a different octave, it's kind of hard to ignore
that
is that person, you know.
Yeah.
So, and those are the people who probably legally went through the right channels to have that person on their song or whatever. So,
yeah.
But we're going to shift gears now from music some movies, but...
This podcast is a member of the New York City Podcast Network at nycpodcastnetwork.com. Visit us to listen to over 250 amazing podcasts just like this one.
So how is AI used in movies? Well, AI can enhance the quality and efficiency of film production by using computer vision, machine learning, and deep learning techniques to create realistic visual effects, animations, and CGI. So, like, if you look at, like, CGI in, like, the 90s, didn't look so good. You look at CGI
now.
It's like you can't even tell the CGI anymore.
Yeah. In the 80s, the 90s.
Did they really do, they didn't do CGI in the 80s.
Really? Did it towards the end of the 80s? Like, you know, what do you call it?
I just don't
Jurassic
know
was, Park? Jurassic Park?
That start, was like, in the 90s.
The 90s?
Yes. And they were doing CGI in the 90s.
Back to the Future wasn't late 80s?
They didn't do CGI in the 80s. And at least in Back to the Future, I don't remember there being CGI.
Do your thing.
Okay. I mean, they had other things, but it wouldn't have been considered CGI, I believe. From my understanding, watching like The Mummy, for example, because I love The Mummy, CGI was a very new thing in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And that was what I heard from behind the scenes. Anyway.
Hold on. Wait. Okay. Well, first time example of CGI appeared on screen was in 1958 after Alfred Hitchcock hired computer animation pioneer Whitney to create the opening sequence in Vertigo? Yeah, Tron in the early 80s. Interesting. Tron introduced a groundbreaking combination of live action and CGI imagery.
Okay.
Interesting.
I just never would consider anything in the 80s considered CGI. But like I would consider it something else. But anyways, whatever. Mm. So is AI a threat to the film industry? Well, the Hollywood jobs most at risk from AI would be kind of more in terms of post-production. So, you know, generative artificial intelligence poses a significant threat to workers in visual effects and, like I said, other post-production. And that's kind of where you worry when it comes to, so not so much the actors or the crew, like the director, producer, that kind of stuff. It's everyone kind of more in that post-production situation that could be affected. So
yeah,
AI is a, do you want to say something?
Go ahead.
Okay. AI is a tool that's going to help people express themselves in ways they've been stifled until now. And this is said by Helena Packer, who is the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Digeen, I think that's how you say it, which is in Silicon Valley. And I believe she is, this is a Shanghai-based developer of AI technology. So Miramax tapped AI technology developer Metaphysic to help its production company create younger versions of key characters featured in a film called Here. Haven't heard of it. I think maybe it's a newer movie, which is adapted from Richard McGuire's graphic novel. A co-founder and CEO, Tom Graham, explains Metaphysics as an AI model is able to de-age actors such as, you know, Hanks with a younger version of the Oscar winner generated by AI and stitched atop his live performance. So kind of like, think Benjamin Button. Think kind of in that sense where you had, what was it again in that movie? Brad Pitt. This particular AI developed software, whatever, would be the one that would have been in charge with the de-aging, or maybe even the aging of Brad Pitt. And well, in this case, it would have been the de-aging of Brad Pitt in that movie, which I really hated that movie.
I'm thinking of Tom Cruise. Never mind.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Mission Impossible.
I can't specify. I know nothing. I don't watch anything Tom Cruise anymore. Anyway, so this new technique is cheaper to produce than like VFX, visual effects. And I think that's a company, if we kind of would see VFX and like title cards or movies and stuff. Or CGI, which is computer generated images, and also more realistic according to Graham. So this is actually, so Benjamin Button could have had an upgrade with this particular software, is what he's trying to say, because it didn't look good. If anyone has seen Benjamin Button. Anyways, quote, "We can actually do things with AI that are impossible with traditional methods to get that really hyper-realistic look that doesn't look uncanny, doesn't look weird, and doesn't look like CGI." So, I guess that sense, like, that's okay, but then who's losing a job in order to do this?
The artist.
Exactly. Yeah. Graham says AI is at the beginning stage, but could eventually consume everything. That is what I'm scared of. Entertainment, gaming, basically any content that is on the internet could be driven by generative AI models that are trained on data from the real world. Listen, we had a whole ass movie called iRobot as to why we should not be doing this. What more do we need? Anyway, Metaphysic, known for its deep fake of actor Tom Cruise. So it actually apparently did a fake thing of Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. I saw a clip running around. I think it was last year. Yeah, it was last year. Of a fake Tom Cruise.
This might have been it.
I don't remember what he was doing, but it was something.
This might have been it.
Okay.
And I also did this on Simon Cowell as well. Leave my Simon alone, but I also did it on Simon Cowell. On the stage of America's Got Talent, raised $7.5 million last year to help expand its content creation tools. So this is why it was a way for it to generate money. So, quote, "The growth has been really fast in terms of the sophistication of the AI models, the techniques, and the software that supports it." This is said by Graham. And he goes on to say, "But in the last 6 months, it has really taken off, and there's no reason why that will not continue. Because of the sheer number of people who are interested in building things on top of it." This is great. So, count visual effects company Industrial Light and Magic as among those who are intrigued. They say, quote, "We're working on over 30 shows right now. I think all of them are using machine learning and AI in one way or another." And this is said by Rob Bedreau, who is the chief creative officer at Industrial Light and Magic. And he is the senior vice president of creative information at ILM's parent company, Lucasfilm. Have we ever heard of that?
Star Wars.
I may not have, I may not be a Star Wars fan, but even I know Lucasfilm. Anyways,
yeah, and other films I can't remember.
There are other ones for sure. ILM is a visual effects pioneer in film and is responsible for the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. And is also the spaceships and lightsabers in Star Wars. I think that makes sense. Jurassic Park in particular was a watershed for the industry, as the first film to do what it did with dinosaurs, which they did not look real, at least initially. They do whatever quote unquote real is to us, because that's not what dinosaurs actually, some of them right. didn't look like that.
Right.
But it's just weird that the dinosaurs in the first movie did not look real. They look like machine operated.
Which movie is this? Which one?
Jurassic Park. They were in charge of the original.
They used AI on it?
They're saying the original Jurassic. No, they're not saying that they use AI, but this mm-hmm. particular company that I was talking about before, they are responsible for mm-hmm. creating the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park, as well as the spaceships and the lightsabers in Star Wars. So they're like a huge company that is kind of intrigued by AI. So it'd be interesting to kind of see with how AI is going.
So they're using
how
it as
they
a tool.
Will adapt to so using, that.
So they're using it as a tool and not like they're just using it like a, you know,
I don't know,
way to save money and being cheap.
Exactly. Because it is a way to be cheaper. In general, this is what we've established. AI generated things is mm-hmm. the cheaper way to go.
Yeah. Right? But I would rather if a company use it as a tool, mm-hmm. you know, that's more positive than
think of it this way. If you have $1 million budget for a movie, imagine how much more you can spend on something else and go cheaper with the AI. Like, I'm thinking like in that sense.
You can hire another actor. You could, you know.
Maybe not necessarily hire another actor if that's not in your script to hire someone else. But it'd be more to use towards marketing. Maybe putting the money, maybe, or putting the money somewhere else in the movie. Or that could go towards even, because when we talk about the budget, I don't know if the budget includes even like feeding your actors. I believe it does, though. Like, I believe all of that encompasses, like, everything. This is your budget, and this is what you have to stay with it. I'm not sure if that's including in that, but, like, even just the things outside of the movie, you know? Imagine if you can skimp somewhere else. And again, mm-hmm. we have to remember, we are a society of people who want to do things easy. And AI makes everything easier for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. We're becoming lazy.
We are kind of lazy.
Which is a good and negative thing. Positive and negative thing. So, yeah, I would say so. Because, like, the positives is that, like, you know, our bodies can get rest. Negative is that you don't want our bodies to get too rested. To the point we get lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing.
Extremely lazy.
And then creating like movies or music or anything like that.
Yeah, it's
very taxing.
Oh yeah.
But I think it's meant to be. Like, this is not an industry where you're meant to sit on your ass and do nothing.
Exactly.
You're meant to put the work in.
It's looking at your creation, like birth. It's looking at your creation to
from start to finish,
to see how others look at it. Like, it's really an accomplishment to see that happen, that your creation is finished, like it says, from start to finish, and letting people see around the world, I would say. So
yeah, and I just feel like AI is just, you know, I understand the reason behind using AI, and maybe AI can be good in certain things, mm-hmm. but it shouldn't be, like you said, it should be used as a tool. It shouldn't be used as like the end all be all.
Yeah,
but I feel like that's the way it's headed. It's not just going to be used as a tool. It is going to be used as a end all be all.
And also, I want to say something to the artists as well. Like, I have a page on, you know, that supports the Black community in a lot of ways. I have an art page that supports Black art, and there'll be people, you know, I do kind of approve for, like, you know AI art here and there, from, you know, Black artists as well. Mm-hmm. And there'll be people who complain
mm-hmm.
about it, and I understand.
First of all, hey, if you don't like it, just scroll on past it. Continue.
Yeah, I scroll past it. But here's the thing. While you're complaining, why don't you support the artists that I do promote,
mm-hmm.
that actually hand draws, do digital,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, just support them. Support them. I understand you don't like AI art, you know, but support, instead of complaining, because complaining is not going to do anything. You know, AI is going to be here for a long time.
AI is going to be here for the rest of our lives, children's lives, grandchildren's lives, great grandchildren's. Yeah, it's going to continue.
Yeah, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. So
I wouldn't say it's going to get better.
Yeah.
I'm going to say better yet. People are going, the generations after us and the generations after our children's generation, they're going to adapt, because that's all they're going to know.
Yeah.
That is the difference.
Yeah.
So, like, look at the difference between, like, our generation, the millennials and the Gen Zs. We grew up in a time where we didn't have internet the way it is, right? And we've seen the other side and how it's developed into what it is. The Gen Zs, this is all they know. They came out the womb and the internet was there for them.
Yeah,
they didn't have to connect to their phone line or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just there. That's basically what I'm trying to get at. AI is going to mm-hmm. be the same thing. It's going to get to the point, because now think of it this way. The Gen X with internet. Not all of them.
Yeah,
my mom would be considered Gen X, and she's adapted to some extent. Then you have, like, my boss, who's also Gen X, who should be adapting a lot better than he does, but doesn't.
To a certain extent.
Yeah. Well, forget the previous. I'm not even talking the previous generation. I'm just using this as an example.
They're not.
I'm not going there. We're just sticking here with my exam.
Yeah.
Gen X with the internet, or even just the texting ability too, is kind of foreign to them, right? Or they've had to really adapt to the changes in that. That's us now with AI. Like, I feel like millennials are going to be like, oh God.
Mm.
Oh my God. Like, what is this?
I think we're more accepted than the...
We're accepting, but that's not the same thing as being like accepting and adapting. It's two different things.
Okay.
I'm accepting that this is it. AI is here to stay. But for me to adapt to the fact that AI is here, I'm not there, nor may I ever be. I don't know. So that's what I'm trying to get at, is
it's ever changing. Until laws are in put, that's where I'll probably be more adapting, I would say.
But again, laws, yes, will regulate things and may help us have an understanding about something, and we can feel comfortable with something. But again, as we said earlier on, that's going to take years and years and years. Like, even like I said with cyberbullying, we still have so much more work to do when it comes to legalizing or just putting the laws together in terms of cyberbullying and when it can go too far. You can all use your imagination with that, but look how far we have come, right? When we were in elementary school, laws around cyberbullying wasn't a thing, right? And look at where we are at now, and there's still work to be done. Imagine how
that. Yep.
And that's something that deserves the time and effort. AI right now where it's at. I mean, again, it could get definitely dark, and we're going to get to that in another episode, but it can get dark for sure. But this is something that has just kind of come up. We're still figuring it out, and it's going to take time. And that is also goes by country, and even more so state by state, province by province, or whatever.
That's true. Right? All the leaders will accept AI, you know,
mm-hmm.
into the country.
It's not so much about, well, North Korea is not going to accept AI into their country, but anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, it's not so much about accepting it. It is what it is. I mean, maybe countries like China, definitely China could,
yeah.
That's a different story, because they could.
They're more high tech, aren't they?
It's not about high tech. It's what is allowed to be done, because they're not a.
Mm.
They're led by
Oh, they're, I understand. Their laws are strict over there.
Yeah, they're. I can't remember the term. I had it up in my tongue, and now I've lost it. But they're not a democratic country. They are the opposite. The opposite of democratic tent.
Yeah. This is.
Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, they're told what they can't even, some of them can't even access Facebook. You can't even access Facebook in China. Mm-hmm. So AI could definitely, I think, yes, they're high tech, but you're confusing that with Japan. Japan is able to have access to everything that they want to have access to. They don't have the same restrictions as they do in China. So it's a little different.
And this is off topic here. Like, I don't know why people think, you know, US laws applies to every country.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No.
Yeah, there's
again,
people
like I said, that varies state by state. The federally, they will do what they want to do, as we've seen, as of, you know, late, which we will not talk about right now, but they will create something federally, or they will take something away federally.
Oh, yeah.
But that still varies state by state.
State by state, too. Yeah, right. But there's people out there that use the American laws on going to Japan and still be saying this law applies.
No, once you are,
like,
for example, if you commit a crime in, you know, Japan, and then you go home, and then they find out that, you know, as long as there's an extradition treaty between that country and the states, you're screwed. Maybe it's legal in where you're from, but it's not legal there. You're done.
Yep.
Like, they're not going to extradite you if you steal, like, I don't know, a candy bar. But if you, like, rape somebody, if you do a violent crime, you're screwed. I think violent crime is pretty abominable anywhere you go anyways. So
yeah, there's some unbelievable. There's some countries that are okay with that. Like,
okay with what?
I mean, I don't know which country, but like, I heard some, but that's for like another episode of podcast.
I would not say any country is okay with anything. It's how they punish people for certain things.
Yeah.
Whether or not they will even investigate certain things, that's where the issues lie. It's not so much that what they've done is illegal or not. It usually is. You usually are not supposed to hurt somebody in any way, but
even
this is how the country deals with it is what's the difference.
Mm-hmm. Even the age of consent is different each country.
But again,
it's crazy.
That varies state by state too, even in the States.
Yeah,
look at the situation. Like, I always go back here, but look at the situation with, like, R. Kelly. He banked on the fact that in Chicago, the age of consent was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But even here in Canada, the age of consent here is 16. Age of consent is 16.
There's some questionable other countries that I want to just be like, why is it that speech.
Oh, no, yeah, it's worse.
Oh, yeah.
Their age worse. Of consent could be 12 in certain countries.
Oh, yeah.
Right. 14. And it's just like, everybody, like, sorry, but a child cannot make a decision for anything. Like, I can't imagine being able to have any decision. Honestly, I can't even imagine, even at 16, no one should have any decision make. Me at 16, listen.
Yeah.
I was a wreck.
Yeah.
I was a wreck up until I turned 20 freaking five. Let's be really honest here.
Yeah. Not sure if everybody else turned 16, you know, or was 16, was in a way, shape or form, mm-hmm. rep too. So like,
don't get me started on the States, honestly, because I mean, sorry, I don't want to shit on the States. It is what it is. Like, you have the right to bear arms, but has anyone ever thought about the fact that you can own a gun at 18 years old, but you can't drink until you're 21?
Yeah.
And I thought about that the other day, and I'm like, that makes no sense at all.
I was also a believer of changing that, the gun laws. The gun
we're not in charge of that, though. We're not in the States. But, not our problem.
Yeah, we're not. It's
and it's, you it's try a telling of, a Texan he can't have a gun. Good luck to you.
It's a lot of corruption in that area. So like,
I wouldn't say corruption is as they really love their guns and don't talk to them that about too, not being able to bear.
They could change it. But you
no,
know,
they're not going to.
A lot of
they never will.
I know
they never will.
They have to go through a lot of loops, like corruption and everything. But sorry for going off topic, guys.
Yes, but we're done with the hard stuff. We're gonna have a little fun with AI because I said that I mentioned some movies where we've been told this is a really bad idea. So let's talk about some of those movies. I've got, I believe, 10 of them. I think I have 10 of them. So, The Matrix in 1999. I don't think I need to explain much more about The Matrix.
I don't think that's a bad idea, to be honest with you.
What?
The Matrix?
What about The Matrix? What I'm saying, this is what AI has, like, this is a movie with AI in the movies. Highlighting AI within the movie. Matrix is one of them. Yeah. Okay. Matrix is that. So, you know, we have, you know, Keanu Reeves and we have, you know, Lawrence Fishburne. I mean, come on. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
We have Ex Machina, which I've never heard of. This is a 2014 movie, so maybe other people out there haven't heard of it.
I've seen the title, haven't seen the movie or trailer.
Well, let's talk about it very quickly. Since I don't know anything about this movie, the plot of author turned director Alex Garland, who is the director of this movie, Ex Machina, reads like something ripped straight from tech site Wired. So, this is what the movie is about. A billionaire genius invites a young programmer to his remote compound to spend a week testing the authenticity of his latest creation, a female humanoid robot named Ava. Great, kitted out with the latest synthetic consciousness technology. The end goal is to identify whether this artificial intelligence is indeed capable of independent thought. However, before long, the line separating logic and emotion begin to blur with deadly results. So, for his directorial debut, Garland presents us with an uncanny AI while inviting us to question what exactly constitutes as a living being. So that's what that's about.
Okay.
Next movie, The Terminator. I'll be back. You know, there's another one.
Yeah.
Which is a 1984 movie. Did not know was directed by James Cameron, who I think of all of us already know. James Cameron also directed Titanic,
Avatar,
and Titanic. So yeah, Blade Runner, which was a 1982 movie. That's another one. Short Circuit was 1986. Have you heard of this movie before?
Short Circuit? No, never.
No, I haven't either. So let's quickly run through this too. Artificial intelligence isn't all doom, gloom, and robotic uprisings. So this wide-eyed number five first introduced in director John Bradham's, that's who the director is of this movie, proof that some sentient machines are content to live peacefully alongside humanity. Originally a high-tech weapon of war, a flirtatious lightning strike transformed the combat creation into a wisecracking, high-spirited gadget with a newfound lust for life. Number Five, or Johnny Five, as he later renamed himself, taught us that that we don't always have to fear man-made consciousness. Sometimes all they want to do is read books and hang out with Ally Sheedy, who I guess is in this movie. So that's what that's about. Her, remember her? 2013, Scarlett Johansson, and Joaquin Phoenix was also in this movie, where he falls in love with the machine.
Interesting.
That's what that was. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw the movie, but I know roughly what the movie's about. Give me a minute. My next movie, WALL-E, 2008. I love this movie so much.
I haven't seen it.
I hate you. It's so good. It's so cute. I love WALL-E. And then you have Eve. It's okay. Anyways, moving on. It's a Pixar movie. That's what that is. Okay. Then we have 2001, A Space Odyssey, which was a 1960 movie. So there we go.
I'm surprised that they didn't put Will Smith iRobot, or I didn't.
iRobot is not on this list, which is weird. I'm not done yet, but it's not on this list. But we know what. Honorable mention, iRobot. There we go. RoboCop, 1997.
Yeah.
And AI, artificial intelligence, with our boy, what's his name again? He has to be in here, his actual name. He's not, whatever. Oh, Joel Osteen, whatever his name is. Fuck it. This was in 2001, and
Joel Osteen, is that the?
That's the kid's name. The actual guy's. He was in. Okay. Yeah, but it's not his full name. He has three names.
It's not the pastor, is it?
No.
Okay.
it's
Joel Osteen.
No, it's. I might be getting the name wrong, but
okay. No, it's okay. Good.
It's whatever. And, they don't have his name here, but anyways. It's a Steven Spielberg classic, 2001,
right.
And you know, shows us why we should not be, you know, involving AI in our humanity. But there we go, we didn't listen to him. It is what it is. But those are the movies that include AI. If you want to go watch those, go ahead for it. But that's it.
Yeah. Rent it. Support it, digitally download it. It's on YouTube or it's on Netflix or it's on any type of streaming services. All those movies. So like
some of those you could probably get on like Tubi or something.
Yeah, randomly on TV, you see it and be like, oh, cool, nice movie. But yeah, those are cool movies, and I want to see some of it. I haven't seen like all of them, but like Matrix
obviously I've seen, and
iRobot, and
I've seen it.
RoboCop. Those are the three.
I haven't seen RoboCop, but I've seen AI.
You've seen
artificial intelligence and WALL-E. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I love WALL-E. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it, so I know you're gonna hate me. I know everybody else is gonna hate me for it.
I don't understand.
Maybe because it was 2008, right?
2008, yeah.
That was 18. Maybe because I was over animations. I wasn't watching too many animations.
Oh, give me a break. I watched anime.
Into anime a little later on in my, like, you know, mid-20s, I would say. Because, like, I was only into, like, you know, Dragon Ball at the time.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
And that has androids in it too. So
that's true.
So like, And yeah, okay. So I guess this is the end,
I believe. Yeah.
So this ends episode 27 of the Next Tape Podcast. The Next Tape Podcast is available now on all podcast platforms. We also have a website called solo.to, Next Tape Podcast. And where else are we at, Tanika?
We're on Facebook and Instagram at Next Tape Podcast, and Twitter and TikTok at Next Tape Pod.
Okay, okay. And also, we have a contact. Contact us at email at mikeltanika@gmail.com. Okay, so we talked about AI in general.
In general, with music and movies.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff. Hopefully, things get better with, you know, AI in the future.
We shall see.
We shall see. And also, you know, what are people who are using AI as a tool, or, you know, using it in a positive way? Good for you. Good for you. I know AI does not come in, you know, in the best of things, like, you know, how people use it in a negative way. Good for the people who are just using it in a positive way to help themselves, improve themselves on an everyday basis. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say, Tanika?
No, I mean, you know, just if you're going to use AI as individuals, just to have fun with it, that's fine. Just have fun with it. You know, don't take it further than that. Do it for yourself.
Yeah. And for the artists out there and the people who are commenting for the artists out there as well, please support other artists. Stop complaining about AI, because that's not going to help the artists in any way, shape, or form. We understand that, you know, jobs are lost by AI, but, you know, supporting your artists by, you know, buying certain stuff from their, you know, their small stores, or, you know, even liking their artwork on Instagram or other websites is a great thing, because the more support you're going to give that artist, the more, you know, the more you are, you know, being positive in the community for these artists. That's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
So, yeah. yeah, it's time to wrap it up. And I'm Mikel, and
I'm Tanika,
and we are out until next week. Peace.
Okay. Bye.